Page 1037, Luke chapter 8, beginning at verse 22. Jesus calms the storm. One day Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's go over to the other side of the lake." So they got into a boat and set out. As they sailed, he fell asleep. A squall came down on the lake, so that the boat was being swamped and they were in great danger. The disciples went and woke him, saying, "Master, Master, we're going to drown." He got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waters. The storm subsided and all was calm. "Where is your faith?" he asked his disciples. In fear and amazement, they asked one another, "Who is this? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him."
Thank you, Valerie. Anyway, it's good to see you all. You're looking great. It was such a beautiful drive up from Arklow today. The sky was blue, the sun was bright, the fields were green, the mountains were high. It was just so extraordinarily beautiful, but not nearly as beautiful as you. Oh, what a lot of rubbish. It was beautiful. It was much more beautiful. It was gorgeous. Anyway, it's great to be here. We're looking at this passage, which is an amazing passage. Thanks, Mark, for your prayer. I take it thanks, Vance, for your prayer earlier. It's great to see the gang here. Thank you to see you all here. Jesus calms the storm. And look, we're going to kind of be using Matthew, Mark, and Luke for this little story. It's a nice short story. What's it about? What is it about? Is it a story about to teach us that Jesus will help us through the storms of life? Is that what this is to show us? Not really. So what's this to show us? I remember back in 1990 when I first went to Bible college, one of the lecturers would say, you know, some people take this book as a little promise book. We open it up every day just to see what God has to say to us today. What little promise does he have to say? What little blessings is here for me? But this is not a promise book, he said. This is so much bigger and broader and wider and better. This is about the God of the universe, not my little promise books. And I thought, but I want those promises. And we do, don't we? And there's lots of wonderful promises in this. But there is so much more to it. And so it is with this story as well. There is so much more to it than God helping us through a storm. So what's it all about? Well, it's to show that Jesus is God. He is the long-waited-for Messiah. He's the one that the Old Testament pointed to and spoke of. He was the fulfillment. He was the Son of God. He was the Creator. It is all about him. At this point in the story, Jesus has just finished a long stint of preaching and teaching, Sermon on the Mount, people coming to be healed. He was exhausted. It's exhausting talking to people, especially if you haven't got a microphone. Didn't have a microphone in Arklow today when I was speaking to them. It wouldn't work. It's great. Technology is wonderful. He was completely exhausted, giving, 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 giving. He was always giving himself, people coming, coming, coming. And so he said to his disciples, "Let's get on the boat and go to the other side." That was his plan. That's what they did. So they got on the boat and they set sail. And Jesus fell asleep. Isn't it wonderful when you can fall asleep? Is that awful when you can't? Well, great when you sit in front of a TV and you just drift away. Or a passenger in a car, you just drift off. Isn't sleep great? So he fell fast asleep. He had a hard day. He was completely worn out. But as they set sail, as they sailed, a storm came. Mark describes a storm as a hurricane. He uses really strong language. Matthew talks about it being a furious storm. The word is seismos megas. You can almost feel what that word means, can't you? Seismos megas. This is a storm of seismic proportion. It is a mega storm. Everywhere else in the Bible, when this word is translated, it's translated earthquake. This was an earthquake in the sea. This was a hurricane on the sea. This wasn't just a bit of bad weather. This wasn't just a bit of lopping about in the waves. This was an earthquake, seismos megas. This was a seismic event of mega proportions. And of course, the disciples panicked. Well, you would, wouldn't you? Even Andy would panic on a boat if it was like that. And he's a proper sailor. He's got his sea legs. And these guys were experienced men, would have been out there fishing all the time. But they knew that they were in trouble. The boat is taking on water. They can't get the water out as fast as the water is coming in. They're on the verge of sinking. Death seemed inevitable. And yet Jesus is fast asleep. How can you sleep at a time like that? I don't know if you're a heavy sleeper or a light sleeper. Some people, you know, they can hear a leaf drop and they're awake. For other people, you can bring a brass band into the room and they'll be still fast asleep. I know, Cahill, you're like that, aren't you? You're that type. Nothing's going to awaken you. And here we are in the middle of an earthquake at sea. And Jesus is sleeping like a baby. He was tired. He was exhausted. But more than that, he had perfect confidence in his Father's care. Perfect confidence in his Father's care. But not the disciples. They were terrified. And they come running. And yet it's a real melee, you know. We just kind of read one line, but you put all the accounts together. There's a real kind of melee of what was going on. It was just sheer panic. You'll recognize that, of course, it's a Rembrandt storm in the Sea of Galilee. It was stolen, you know. The museum that it was stolen out of has the frame waiting for the heart to come back. But anyway, the guys were panicking. They were totally freaked out by this. Master, master, don't you care? We're going to drown. We're going to die. Now remember that Jesus has been preaching all day, healing all day. He is completely worn out. And yet these miracles that we find, including what is going to happen here, is all pointing towards Jesus being the fulfillment of the Old Testament. All that he encapsulated, all that he was teaching. What is going to happen here, and all the miracles, are to point to him as the Son of God, the one that they were looking for, the one the prophets pointed to, all that the scriptures spoke about. And when you take the stories in the Old Testament, there are so many parallel events in the New. And they're meant to be there, and they're meant to be reminding you. So some people say, I like the New Testament, but I don't really care much for the Old. But if we don't know the Old, we can't really understand the New. Because all of this is really important. And all of these stories are carried forth to show that Jesus is special. And so when he came along and he did his first miracle, his first sign, do you remember what that was? That's the easy one, isn't it? What was his first sign? Turning the water into wine. Why did he do that? Why was that his first? Here was someone to come to be the savior of the world, to bring people out of slavery, of sin, and set them free. He takes some water and he turns it into something good. Back in the Old Testament, you have the people enslaved in Egypt. And the rescuer comes to set them free. And what was the sign, the first sign that he used, the first plague? He turned the water into blood. Here was something horrific. Here was something terrific. That's not bad. I just thought of that, isn't it? But here was something really good. This was the fulfillment. This was the wine, the good wine of the gospel to set people free. And this story, the calming of the storm and the sea, is paralleled in the Old Testament as well. Can you think of another story where there's a storm, a violent storm, the boat is about to sink, the sailors are panicking, and the main principal character is fast asleep? What is that story? Jonah. Jonah. A prophet who was sent by God, but he was reluctant. Here we have a prophet sent by God who comes willingly. Who calmed the storm in the Old Testament story? God. Who calms a storm in the New Testament story? God. But it's Jesus. Who is this? They said to each other. And yet only God can do that. Psalm 107 says this, "They cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distress. He stilled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed." Only God can do this. Only God can do this. The disciples are thinking, who is this? Of course, the Gospels are written to show that Jesus is the Son of God. Luke, in this, he carefully describes in chapter 1 about how he made careful investigations to confirm who Jesus is. Mark just puts it out there in chapter 1 that this is a record of Jesus, the Son of God. John writes that the whole point of his book is that we may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, we may have life in his name. So Jesus gets up and he rebukes the wind. "Quiet! Be still!" A whisper. A hush. The wind died down. It was completely calm. Completely calm, Mark says, or perfectly calm. But the word used is megale. Can't you figure what that word's going to say as well? Megale. This was a mega calmness. This wasn't just a subsiding of the storm. This was one from 100 to zero. It was mega calm. It's a bit like a classroom full of unruly children. Beautiful bliss. Who are screaming and shouting and won't do what they're told. The teacher can't control them. The noise is crazy. And the headmaster walks down the corridor and walks through the door and says, "Quiet!" And there is mega calm. That's what happens here. Not just a calm. It's megale. It is mega calm. The voice of God speaks. But then Jesus turns from rebuking the storm to rebuking his disciples. "Why are you afraid? Where is your faith?" The disciples were more frightened now than they were before. The storm was nothing compared to this. But this was a lesson in faith. What is faith? Do you have faith? What does that mean? What does that mean? This was a lesson in faith for them. These disciples, do you think there was any chance of them drowning in this story? Do you think there was a little bit of a chance? 5% chance? 90% chance? Is there any chance that I'm going to drown in this story? No. What do you mean no? How do you know that? Because Jesus said, "Let's get in the boat and go to the other side." He didn't say there wouldn't be a storm, but he says, "We're going to get on the boat and we're going there." And because he said so, that would happen. They weren't going to drown because Jesus said, "We're going to the other side." Isn't it amazing when you think about that? Whenever Jesus, on the night before he died, said to his disciples, "I'm going to the Father, and I'm going to prepare a place for you. And when I do, I'm going to come back, and I'm going to take you to be with me." And then he said, "If that wasn't true, I wouldn't have said it." When Jesus says something, he means it. When Jesus said it will happen, it will happen. God never tells lies. "Let's go over to the other side of the lake." He didn't say there'd be no storms, but he did promise that they would arrive safely. Every time we arrive, every time we go on a destination, we always assume that we're going to get there, don't we? So whenever we went on a holiday a few weeks ago, we got on a plane assuming we were going to get there. It's just an assumption we make that we're going to make it. I mean, we wouldn't get on a plane if we didn't think it was going to make it. That's not a very good start. And if Jesus had said to the disciples, "Let's get in that boat and sail out to the middle of the sea and there's going to be a storm, we're all going to die, let's go. How many disciples would have gotten that boat? Maybe Peter would have said, okay, let's go anyway. No, they wouldn't have done that, but he said, let's get on the boat and let's go to the other side. When we were taken off on holiday, you know, this is the usual stuff. You get the I always watch the air hostess, even though I've watched it a million times before, just to make sure I know where that life jacket is. It's under here and the oxygen's from down there. And so you're flying along, it's great. And we hit a bit of turbulence. Remember that? Hit a bit of turbulence. And suddenly the seatbelt sign comes on again, and they announce over the system to say that the seatbelt sign has come on. Please put your seatbelt. If you're out of your seats, please get back to your seats. The toilets are out of use. And the plane's going a bit like this here, you know. But you look at the air crew, and they're just doing what they do. There's no sign of panic. They're just doing what they do. But if you're a panicky person and you're told to put your seatbelt on and the plane is going up and down like this here, it can be a bit scary. But generally, turbulence doesn't kill you. And generally, you get to the other side. The turbulence might be a bit scary. But the crew were confident, and we could be confident. And when Jesus says we're going to get to the other side, we will get to the other side because we need to remember who Jesus is. John 1. In the beginning was the Word, as Jesus. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. Hebrews 1. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets and at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he's spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things and through whom also he made the universe. Colossians 1. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven, on earth, visible, invisible, thrones, powers, rulers, authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Finally, 1 Corinthians. There is but one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom all things came and through whom we live. This is a faith lesson, that Jesus can be trusted in the most threatening of circumstances. We can't control whether storms will come, but we can control how we react to them. Isaiah 43, don't be afraid. I've called you. You're mine. And when you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they'll not sweep over you. And when you walk through the fire, you'll not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I'm the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Sometimes maybe we think we're not going to make it. But if Jesus says you will and your faith is in him, then you will, despite the storms that come along. Can we show that little video, Lucas, of the surfer? This is a girl who was out surfing, and she was swept away by a wave.
And then, as I was under the water, I realised that there was no tug. So normally you wait for the tug, which is the leash and the surfboard, and I didn't feel that tug. And so I eventually came up for air, and I saw my board just bobbing off towards the shore. And that was literally my worst nightmare. My first instinct was to shout for help because there were surfers in the water nearby. I shouted, nobody help me. So in that instant, I had to make a decision. And it was just so strange that 3 days beforehand, I just happened to have spoken to a lifeguard about what would I do if my leash broke. And I just remembered those words about relaxing. I got over that initial terror like sheer terror of being in that situation, I realized that actually it wasn't about swimming for my life. It was literally about, you have to relax. You have to relax for your life, to save your life. And that's what I did. I just trusted that if I stayed relaxed, there was enough air in my lungs to make me float. Eventually, the sea would bring me back towards the shore. Somebody would see me, and it would be okay.
That girl was in a lot of trouble. And you naturally want to swim and fight because your life is under threat. Things seem to be going badly. It's counterintuitive just to relax, but you remembered what the lifeguard has said. You just need to relax. Don't fight it. Just go with it. And it will bring you safely to shore. And there's so many things in our lives that it seems counterintuitive just to trust Jesus when so much more seems to be required. And yet these disciples had to trust him. It was a lesson in trust. A lesson in faith. The storm was calmed. But the disciples weren't. They were so much more fearful. Because in the boat stood God. And everyone in the Bible who had an encounter with God recognized their own sinfulness and they fell on their knees. Or everybody, Abraham, Ezekiel, Daniel, Isaiah, Peter, John, everybody who encountered God were swept away by that. Because it's a fearful thing to be in the presence of God. But not when you're his. That's why Paul could write in Romans 8, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Yeah, they're not good. They're imperfect. They say things. They do things that they shouldn't. But because of their faith in Jesus, there's no condemnation. They will make it to the other side. Not because of them, but because of him. Not because they're dependent on their own swimming or their own skill, but because of what Jesus has done. He says, trust me. Let me hold you. This was a beautiful lesson in faith. Not a little promise to us that God will be with us in the storms, although he will. And when we cry out as we should in the storms of life, sometimes he'll take those storms away and things will be great. Other times we'll pray and pray and pray and the storm never seems to subside. But Jesus will always be there with us because he tells us, he's told us, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Trust me. Don't be afraid. He tells us over and over and over and over again. Because we learned very slowly. But this is what this story is about. It's about God incarnate, who's with his people, and says, come on this amazing journey with me to the other side. Life is full of storms. But if you're his, you will make it to be with him forever. There'll be turbulence along the way. There'll be seismic storms that you wish you didn't have to face. But you will make it because he is God and he is good and he loves you.